this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It really is a great privilege to be here. I was very excited. So Heinrich asked me to come. He's at a funeral, for those who do not know. And then after he asked me, he emailed me, maybe this is a bit short notice, maybe you should come another time. And, you know, he was just being very considerate. And I said to him, no, please, please, I want to come. So we left very early this morning, Rachel and I and my little one. And we were here at 8:15. So we decided to go back and find some coffee, and then we couldn't find the school again. So we had a bit of a panic, but then we found the school again. So here we are. And it's just great to be here. It's the greatest privilege to be a part of a baby dedication. And this little boy is really extremely privileged to grow up in such an environment of parents and grandparents loving the Lord. So just a privilege to be here. Father, we thank you just to be able to gather here on such a beautiful morning, God. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus that sets us free from every sin, from every condemnation, from every fear, from every insecurity. And Father, our prayer is that this morning we will understand what the blood of Jesus means in our lives. And Father, we pray this morning that you will speak to us and that we will hear your voice clearly and that we will act on the prompting of the Holy Spirit and that we will change, because we only ever change if we are changed by you. So God, we worship you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, I want to speak about courage this morning. The title of the message is Take Courage. And I want to tell you something about my childhood, and I think many of us here will relate to this. But I remember as a child often being challenged with something that other children did that I also wanted to do, but I was too afraid to do it. Now, just to give you a bit of background, I'm not an adrenaline junkie, and I'm not the adventure babe kind of a lady. I'm very careful and I don't like taking risks. But my brother and my sister are quite the opposite, especially my sister. She's quite wild. She ran the Comrades 3 years ago and she dehydrated and she was in ICU for 2 days and she almost died, and now she's on her way to run the next Comrades. And yes, I'm very proud of her. So I remember as a child often doing things that really scared the living daylights out of me, like horse riding, like jumping off something high, like going to Gold Reef City or Rutanga Junction and going on the rides, and really having a fear of heights and a fear of speed and fears for many things. I remember never wanting to do it, but always feeling that I have to do it. And I look back now and I realize the reason why I had to do it is because I was so afraid to do it. So I had to conquer this fear. And now at my age, I look back and I think, wow, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. But yet I had this thing in me. So I would often find myself jumping off something high into the water. And while I have to do this thing, I am in such agony and I have so much fear, and then I do it because I have to do it because I'm afraid to do it. So now I have to do it, and then I do it, and the incredible satisfaction that comes from doing something that I was too afraid to do. Do any of us here relate to that? We have a man in our church in Standerton. In our church, the small groups take turns to do the offering message and the sometimes the communion message, and he gets extremely nervous, but he has to do it. So he takes the microphone and he's shaking like this, And he's and we are like 60 people or so, and his name is JP, and he says, just a little bit nervous, just give me a second. And then finally he speaks, and he always comes up with something so incredible out of his mouth, but it comes with fear and trembling. And there's just something that I have realized about this thing. And I think maybe it's different for all of us, but I just have a sense that when we are children, we are very pure and very sort of open to God. And I think it's almost a way of God is preparing us for life, and he's teaching us to take courage. Now, what is courage? If you are not afraid, you cannot have courage. Courage can only exist when you are afraid. Otherwise, it is not courage. So you can only take courage if you fear something. And when we are children, and even as grown-ups, we realize it's almost as if I look back and as if I was prepared for a life of having to take courage. Now I'm in my later 30s, and I don't, the last time I got on a horse was about 3 years ago. We were visiting the Drakensberg, and my husband is, he loves all the things that are outdoors and challenging, and he once again manipulated me into horse riding with him. So I did it, and I took the slowest, deadest of dead horses, and he took the wildest of wild horses, and nobody told me that the dead horse will follow the wild horse. So he started running with his horse, and my horse obviously followed his horse, and I thought this was the end of me, and I was praying in tongues and calling on the name of the Lord and repenting of my sins and just making sure that I will make it to heaven if I die right now, and thinking my sister will take my children so they will be fine, and making all the, and then I did live to tell the tale, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I just want to say it. That was the last time I get on a horseback. But there's just something about life and having to take courage. And I spoke to a couple of people recently, and it was as if God just wanted to open my eyes to something. And I spoke to quite a bit of church-going people like us, and many people told me that they are taking medication, whether it is for depression pills or whatever it may be. And I was quite surprised. The more I speak to people and sort of try to find out where they are at in their coping mechanisms, and I'm sure many of us that are sitting here are on medication just to cope. And some of us may not be on medication, but we should not feel that proud of ourselves, because maybe we are doing something else. Some of us are eating. Some of us are exercising to the point where it is obsessive. Some of us are not doing any of these things, but we are escaping in our minds to a different world and avoiding reality. Whatever it may be, I've realized that there's a desperate need for the church to take courage. And my desire is that those of us who are sitting here will leave this building today and every Sunday and go out and indeed be different. And the times that we are living in might not be more difficult than other times. I think every era has its challenges. But there's definitely a lot of pressure. And God does not want us. He has not called us to survive. He called us to a life of abundance. He called us not to just get by and just cope. He called us to wake up in the morning with a song in our heart and a lot of courage for the day and a lot of excitement simply because of our salvation. Simply because we know him and the power that is available to us, and we need to slot into that. So I want to speak about courage and how do we take courage? And over the past year, just for me personally in my life, I had to take a lot of courage. And You know, we often, when we think of courage, we tend to think of things like Braveheart. Who of you have seen Braveheart? All the men probably, and most of us. I did not like it, but anyway, I did see it. And you know, and we think of William Wallace kind of a figure and having to, you know, face the huge massive army or what's that movie that my husband saw again the other day with Tom Cruise and the tribe that he became a part of, and The Last Samurai. I also went to bed and didn't see it, but anyway, it's very brutal. But you know, that's what we think of when we think of courage. But that is fairly easy. You know, there's a movie camera and they just go through the motions. They are just acting. But we need courage here and now. And some of us will wake up tomorrow morning and we will need to take a lot of courage just to get through the day because of our challenges. And we have many challenges. And my heart's desire this morning is that that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us how to take courage from God, because courage comes from the Lord. So I want to read a scripture from Psalm 27, verse 14. And the word of God says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." I think this is David speaking. I'm not exactly sure. I think it is. And David says, "Wait for the Lord and let your heart be strong and take courage." So the first thing that I want to say is, have you noticed courage does not fall on you? You know, you don't go out and say, "God, I need courage. I will stand here and then it will fall on me like like something, and then I will be courageous." No, it speaks about taking courage. It is the same than taking offense. I'm not going to speak about offense this morning, but we clearly know from many sermons being preached about offense, I think all of us know by now, it is not given, it is taken. It is your choice whether you are going to take it or not. My husband preached a sermon called The Jacket of Offense, and he said it's like a jacket that you put on. It is exactly the same with courage. It is something that we take. And taking something is not always that easy, have you noticed? We see Israel going through the Red Sea and seeing so many miracles and really experiencing God in such a tangible way. They can almost smell him. He's so near and so close. And yet they are too afraid to take the promised land. They are too afraid to take courage. And the psalmist here says, take courage. And how do you take that courage? Wait upon the Lord and take it. And I want to speak about that taking of courage. Now, a quote that I want to read to you. And it says, courage does not always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, "I will try again tomorrow." And what I want to say this morning is, how do we take courage? How do we go from being an average kind of person to becoming William Wallace with the blue paint on his face and storming the enemy and having no fear? How do we get there? And it does not necessarily happen overnight. God calls us into a lifestyle of loving him and trusting him. And as we grow in this, we grow in courage. How do we grow in courage? By making small, courageous decisions every single day. And it's like a ladder of courage, and we start here at the bottom and we make little decisions. Like, for instance, tomorrow I will go to work and I will greet that person that I know despises me and rejects me. I will walk up to that person and I will say, "Good morning, how are you? I hope you have a lovely day. That takes courage. And it's like a ladder, and that is where we start. And every day we take a little step and a little step and a little step, and we don't even realize how high up we go. Until when we face that vast army, we are ready for it. And we didn't even know when it happened. I want to give you a little example to illustrate this. I have 5 children, and with my first pregnancy, I made the decision to do it al natural. I said to the gynecologist the very first time when we visited him, I said to him, listen to me today and listen clearly and please look at me and concentrate. I do not want an epidural. I do not want anything for pain relief. I want to experience what the Word of God spoke about when it said, in pain you shall bear your children. So that was my firm decision, and my husband was looking at me, and you know, he knows me quite well, and I could see a bit of concern in his eyes, but I was very sure. So the time came for me to have the baby, and I had the contraction started, and as it, you know, it starts fairly lightly. Those who know what it feels like, I see a couple of ladies here with the, I see the look in your eyes, you know what I'm speaking about. And I remember going to the hospital, and by the time we were at the hospital, it was increasing. And there came a point when I realized, this is going to hurt. So I went into the bathroom, just me and God. I locked the door, and I went and I sat there in the bathroom, and I prayed this prayer. I said, please, God, don't let it be sore. Please, God, can I have a painless birth? Please, God, can you help me? And then I moved on. I was very desperate, and I said, God, I will love you. God, I will work for you. God, I will testify. God, I will do anything. Please, just don't let this be sore. Please, God, I beg you. You know, it was such a desperate, desperate cry. And then the whole thing happened, and it was really sore. And I remember the doctors telling the nurse, no, she doesn't want anything for pain. And then by the time that I said, I would like an epidural, they said, no, it's too late. You cannot do it anymore. And I had an induction, and it was quite traumatic. And I had the baby, and it was glorious. And so I went on, and I had another 3. And then by the 5th one, the contraction started. And I'll tell you how this was. We were driving to the hospital from Standerton to Trichardt, Secunda. And it was fairly heavy already. And I knew exactly what was coming. I've got experience now. And I was sitting and I was saying, God, thank you that you are with me. Thank you, God, that I know even in such tremendous pain, you don't leave me, you don't forsake me, you stay with me, you will keep me calm, and you will inspire me by your Holy Spirit. And when all of this is over, I will have this amazing child. Thank you, God, that I can trust in you. This was my prayer. And if I just see the way that I have learned to trust God in a specific situation, and I took courage without even realizing it. I took courage without even knowing it. And the fear that I felt that first time was, I could not compare what I felt the 5th time. It was nothing compared to the first time, because I knew what was coming. And yet, I knew my God is for me. Who can be against me? My God is with me. I can do anything. And there's something about growing in God and making those little small decisions every day to take courage and walking through every day with God and saying, God, I need courage for this. And like I said, like the Word of God says, I take it and I wait upon the Lord. And I want to speak about the second thing. I want to speak about waiting on the Lord. Now, the Word says, as I have said now, the Word says, take courage, wait upon the Lord, take courage. And as I said, courage comes from God. Sorry, I just need some more water. You know, and there are many different ways of waiting upon the Lord. There are very many different sermons on how we wait on God. And ultimately, I think it might be different for all of us. And it really just speaks about going into the presence of God. And for some of us, we can really just sit and close our eyes and just wait upon God and experience Him. Some of us, we have to worship, we sing, and we wait until the presence of God manifests. Some of us, we just read the Word, some burn candles, some paint, some dance. It's a unique relationship that we all have with the Lord. But however we do it, me, for instance, I cannot just sit with my eyes closed. I don't know. I don't hear a thing from God. But I, you know, the more I speak, the more I hear. We are all different. But when it comes to waiting upon the Lord and taking courage, I want to use a very powerful example that we get from the Word of God. And that is where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is on His way to the crucifixion. And this was why He was born. This was why He came to earth, to manifest the presence of God and to ultimately make the ultimate sacrifice so that all of us here this morning can be free. And Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I think that is probably one of the most intense events described by the Word of God. I don't think actually there was anything more intense than that. Jesus in the garden, and Jesus is so very afraid. And this is so comforting to me, that He was so fully human, that there was nothing about Him that could say, "Oh, the cross, that's nothing." He knew exactly what was coming, and He was very afraid. And Jesus went to His disciples and He said to them, you know, He was so anxious. And He said to them, "Please just stay awake with me. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overcome. Please just stay awake with me." But yet He had to go. And this is the first principle. He had to go away from them and He had to wait on God for courage. He could not get the courage from them. Many of us are overcome and overwhelmed, and what do? We phone a friend. And we desperately want somebody to give us courage. Courage comes from God. People love, people support, people pray. Courage comes from God. And Jesus leaves them there, and He goes, and this is so intense. The Word of God says He was sweating blood. I don't think that is a proverbial kind of thing. I think He was sweating blood. And I think He was hyperventilating, and I think He was in such agony because He was so very afraid. And see how Jesus was waiting on God. He was there in the garden, probably on His knees. It's almost like He's dying from fear and agony and just knowing what is going to come now. And He says, "Please, God, can this cup pass me?" He was so human. He says, "I do not want to drink this cup. I do not want to go through this shameful, painful, terrible death. I do not want to do it. Please, God." And then He says, "But Your will be done, not my will." And we see there the picture of Jesus in agony. And how was He waiting on God for courage? He was wrestling with God. He was not wrestling with people. He was not out doing something else to try and avoid what is going to happen. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the very few people that He had to support Him fell asleep. They had no idea. And we would do exactly the same, in case anybody here thinks, "I would have stayed awake. We would have slept." And there is Jesus, and He is wrestling with God. And by wrestling with God, He is busy taking courage. And this is my encouragement to us today. We need to run to God to take courage. And we go to God and we wrestle with God and we speak to God and we give Him our honest, bare heart. For Jesus it was, I do not want to drink this cup. Can you please set me free from this thing that I have to do? Whatever it may be, we need to wait on God by wrestling that thing through with Him. Because what happened to Jesus when He stood up from that place? Was He in a panic all over the place? No. He was cool, calm, and collected on His way to the cross. And Jesus walks, and there goes Peter, and he chops off the one guy's ear. And Jesus is his old self, and he picks it up, and he says, no, Peter, we are not going to do that now. This is not how we do things around here. We love people. We love even our enemies. We are not going to do this now. And Jesus stands before Pilate, and he's being accused of everything that he never did. And he says, that is what you say. He doesn't even put up a fight. He's cool, calm, and collected. Why? Because he did exactly what the scripture says. He was waiting upon the Lord, and he was waiting for God. And then he made that decision. He took courage. And many, many times when we need to take it, and let me say this very clearly, the thing that God has called you and me for, and this does not exclude anybody, every single one of you and every child there at the Children's Church, every one of us, the thing that God is calling us to will take an incredible amount of courage. If He does not, it is not the call of God. Can I say that again? If He does not take an incredible amount of courage, it is not the call of God. Yet, He will take a step by step by step. So I did not have all five of my children at once. I only had to take courage to have one at a time. Thank you, Jesus. I only had to have one at a time. And the more I did it, the more God took me on a journey of knowing how to do it. And whatever it may be, God will take us on this journey. But ultimately, the day that we die, we should have been challenged out of our minds. Now, the Word of God says, like I said earlier, He calls us to a life of abundance. You know what? I think we all have a different idea of abundance. Some of us, we just see chocolate that's never ending. That's one of my ideas. You know, some of us, some see honeymoon forever, and some see lots of money. But really, the way that I see a life of abundance is that the day when I die, I will be able to say, I laughed a lot. I cried a lot. I felt very deep. I was very afraid, and I was very satisfied, and I was very victorious. And I had those range of experiences and emotions, because where God took me, I had to take courage. And some of us wake up in the morning, and we need to find God again and find what He has for us. Because if you don't need courage anymore, you are just not doing what you are supposed to do. If you don't need courage anymore, you are not doing what you are supposed to do. And for some of us, it might be still on a personal level, taking courage with all the debt that we made. And now we've got to repent, and then we've got to start making a plan, taking courage to start our own business. But it moves on from that to becoming in the kingdom of God what God called us to become. Because ultimately, everything is for His kingdom. The job that we do, whether you are an engineer or a nurse or a teacher or working for the church like me, it's all the same, and it is all to benefit the kingdom of God. And that is why I'm saying it is not just survival. God wants us to take us beyond our debt and our car and our house and even our children. He wants to take us beyond that. And it's all a journey to what we need to do. And the day when we die, we should be very satisfied that we took courage and we had to take it and we did it. My greatest fear, and this really is just, I'm really just honest here, my greatest fear is to die and not knowing that I gave it my all. You know, the word says David died. There's some version, I don't know which one, that says having done all that God has called him to do. David murdered somebody. David took another man's wife. We don't know whether it was rape or willingly. We don't know. He had some lust problems. David had too much blood on his hands. He could not build God a temple. Yet, David died having done all that God has called him to do. That means that you and I don't know what we have done, whether it was murder or rape or failing at something, whatever sin we did, relationally, with our children, with our spouse, whatever we did, we can die because of the grace, because of the love of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. We can die having done all that we were called to do if we take courage. I want to share one last thing, and it is about endurance. There's another quote. I love this quote. It says, "A hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is braver 5 minutes longer." Don't you think that's good? You know, again, I'm sorry for all this talk about having babies. I know only half of the audience here relate. But then again, somebody here said we were pregnant. I think it was Henny, hey? So apparently the men also were pregnant. So we all know what I'm speaking about. You know, when you have a child, and that's what we as women can do when we preach. We can speak about things that the men can never know anything about. So when you have a baby, and I don't want to be too graphic or anything, but if you have that baby without any pain relief, there is something glorious, something absolutely glorious about the fact that towards the end, and I'm sorry for those of you who still have to have babies. You can have an epidural, so don't stress. But just before the baby's head surfaces, round about that point, you think that you are going to die. Are there any ladies here that, thank you, thank you, Izan, thank you. Just before you push that baby out, there comes a point when you think that you are going to die. I remember with my first time, like I've told you, was quite a challenge. And I remember just before the Mikaela's head surfaced, I was thinking to myself, I was begging God to just now take me. I said, God, again, my sister can take the children. My husband can marry. I do not mind. I will not be jealous because I will be dead. So let him find a good wife and let my sister take this baby. But please, God, I want to be in heaven with Jesus. I do not want to live anymore. And I had those thoughts. And then the doctor said, the head is surfacing. Just one more push. Just one more push. And you do that last push, and I will not demonstrate. Don't fear. Give that last push, and suddenly there the baby is. Suddenly, and all that pain is gone. And you go from absolute hopelessness, and you just endure. And the thing with having a baby is you have no choice. So you just endure, and your endurance is rewarded with the most incredible gift that you could ever receive on this earth, a child. And there's something so powerful about that. The Word of God says, do not grow weary. Do I have it there? I'm not sure. Yes, Galatians 6 verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There is something about endurance that we need to understand. And I think that this generation has a great deal of trouble understanding it. You know, God says, Jesus says to his disciples, I come back soon. Soon is thousands of years. There's something about endurance that we need to understand. And again, we need to take courage. The Word of God says, having done all to stand, just stand. Sometimes people come to us in the ministry and they have real problems like a lot of you might have, like We have, they have real problems. They need real solutions. They need real prayers. And they come and there is no overcoming yet, and there is no solution yet, and we pray and nothing yet and nothing yet. And there comes a point when we tell them, don't come to us anymore. Having done all to stand. Just trust in the Lord. It was Alex that gave the testimony this morning just of God's provision. There's just something about enduring. Just something about the fact that we trust God, whether it seems like He's trustworthy or not, because He is. And whatever God is doing to us is to teach us. You know, we were visiting my parents for the Easter weekend, and I was driving back with little Caleb. The others are visiting family. And he hates his car seat. He absolutely hates it. So I put him in his 2.5, and I put him in his seat, and he's in his seat. He can't get out. And we were driving for about 2 or 3 kilometers, and Caleb started crying, and he says, "Jy moet my los maak! Maak my los!" And he started, and it started just with that, and then it became a weeping and a wailing and a yelling. And then in between all of this, he would say, "Daar's 'n skaap! Daar's 'n bees!" And then again, he would scream, "Maak my los!" And he's screaming and yelling. And you know, in his mind, the best thing for him would be not to be in the stupid chair that is so uncomfortable. In his mind, he has no doubt that what he needs is not to be in that chair. In his mind, he's absolutely convinced that next to me in the front is where he needs to be. But I am the parent. I see it's a terrible road full of potholes, trucks coming to and fro. It was raining and thundering. So I cannot take him out of his car seat, because I am trying to be a good parent. It is exactly the same with us and God. We really think we know what we need. And we go to God, and that is fine. God doesn't mind. I don't smack him because of that. Sometimes I do, but I understand where he comes from. I get that. I get that he's only 2.5. But it is the same with us. We come to God and we say, "God, you know that I need this." And we're trying to convince God, and we're trying to, and sometimes God is just quiet. Like I was on the road, I just put the music louder and louder and louder, shut out all the noise in my ears, because I know what is best for him. But he must take courage. He doesn't understand it, but he can take courage, because I love him and I'm a good parent and I'm anointed to be his parent, and he can safely take courage. And it is the same with us, and we need to endure. And I don't care how bad the situation is. I do not know you. I do not know, but I know a lot of people with terrible situations. We need to take courage, and we need to not only take courage in this terrible situation, we need to take courage beyond that and become abundant life people. Abundance, where we are not afraid to give, where we are not afraid to risk, where we are not afraid to love, where we are not afraid to serve, where we can just become uncomplicated, easy, abundant life kind of people. And when it is hard, and when we are rejected, and when we have problems, what do? Yes, we tell our friends, "Stay awake with me, pray for me." Yes, we do that. That is a biblical principle. But we go to God, and we wrestle with God, and we wait on God, and he will give us courage. And one of the best ways to take courage, and I will never, ever not say this if there's an opportunity to say it, is to worship God. To worship God, whether it is with a CD, if you don't like singing, then you read the Psalms, whatever it may be. But worshiping God, doesn't matter what you are facing. You know, I was thinking a lot about Oscar Pistorius, and I so want to tell him, worship God. Get a CD, push play, and worship God, and everything will change.
Because when we worship God, we see differently. We hear differently. We think differently. And for most of us, the problem is in our minds. I was listening
to a sermon about debt once. And the person that was preaching, Pastor Sonika from the Shofar East London Church, was saying, debt is mostly a problem in your head. Do not think if you earn more, you will have less debt. The problem is here. You need to sort it out here in your head. It is the same with everything else. That is why the Word of God speaks about renewing our minds. One way to renew our minds is to worship God. God, you are so great. God, you are so big. God, you are so good. God, you are so much in control. God, I know you love me. God, I know I am on my way to healing. Father, I know that it is speaking life, speaking life. And when we do that, we take courage. Who of you have experienced it? Anybody here? Many of us. That is how we take courage and we go from that place just like Jesus did. Cool, calm and collected, full of courage. And there's an ear being chopped off and we handle it. We handle it. Something happens at work. Something happens with our children. Something, we handle it. We speak the word of God. We speak life. We are cool, calm and collected. Why? Because we took courage. Can we stand? Can we have the band? Can the band come up? Thank you. Can we just pray, Father? We thank you this morning that you are so much bigger than we can ever even imagine. And Father, as the word says, who are we that you even attend to us? You can do whatever you want to. But thank you, God, that in your absolute ability and power to do anything, you chose to give your life. You chose to send your son to die. Father, and this morning I want to thank you. We want to thank you that your grace is enough. Father, thank you that your grace was enough for David to commit terrible sin. And yet he could die having done what you have called him to do. Because he was a man after your own heart. He was a worshiper. And Father, this morning we want to come before you. And I want to ask you, if this is you, can you just witness with this prayer in your heart, if this is you? Father, we want to come before you and we want to repent for such a lack of courage. Father, we want to repent for not waiting on you when you wanted to give us yourself, when you wanted to impart yourself. Father, forgive us for forgetting who you are. And Father, this morning we come to you. And if this is you, if this is you, I want you to raise your hand. If you choose this morning, just where we are standing, if you choose this morning to take courage, if you choose this morning to wait upon the Lord, won't you raise your hand just as an indication? Father, you see every hand here this morning. You see my hand and every other hand. You can lower your hands. Father, you see our hands. Father, this morning we come to you. Father, we are not special. We are not superheroes, Father. If we were, we wouldn't need you. We cannot fly. Father, some of us are so average. People don't even look twice or listen twice. But Father, thank you this morning
it doesn't matter, Father. Because you choose to use people who are willing to wait on you and to take courage. And Father, this morning I want to thank you that every one of us that is standing here, every one of us, you say in your word that you have set out a set of good works for us to follow in and to finish while we live on this earth to accomplish. And Father, thank you that every single one of us has a calling and a destiny and something that we must finish before we die. Father, for some of us, it is very different than others, but for none of us, it is more important than anybody else. For none of us, there's a bigger calling. It is all equally big and amazing. And Father, I pray that every one of us who raised our hands this morning will stand and take courage. Father, I pray endurance over us in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to prophesy. We want to prophesy this morning that every one of us who is standing here, Father, and every other Shofar Family Church this morning, Father, that we will choose to take courage and that we will stand. And Father, this morning we choose to endure. Because we know that you are faithful. Because we know that you are good. And we know, Father, that sometimes we may scream and kick. But you know best. You know best. And Father, we want to confess this morning that you know best. And every life that is represented here, we trust you with our lives. And Father, I want to pray specifically for some people here this morning who struggle to trust you with their lives. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will break every bondage of fear over them in the name of Jesus. And God, that they will make that crucial decision, that crucial first step to just trust you. Father, I just think about that testimony this morning of the couple who is moving to Cape Town who said that we ran into many things blindly. Father, I pray that same blind faith over every one of us this morning. And Father, some of us are on the first ladder of courage. Some of us are on the first step of the ladder of courage. Some of us are high up. Wherever we are, God, it doesn't matter. We choose to take courage. We choose to trust you. We choose life in abundance over survival. We choose that this morning, Father. Father, we worship you. We worship you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God over all. Father, we worship you. That even Peter, who was so afraid, who denied Jesus 3 times, could take courage. Father, I thank you that every one of us here can become everything that you have called us to become. And Father, I pray over us. I pray over every person that is a part of this church, Father. I pray them out of their comfort zones. I pray us out of our comfort zones, out of our safe places, into places where we need courage, into places where you can take our tent pegs and extend our territory. And for this church, we pray, Father, that you will extend our territory. And Father, we thank you that every one of us, and as a church, we will become the city on the hill that cannot be hidden. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to ask before we
before we sing one last song and just worshiping God, I want to ask if there's anybody here that needs prayer, if it is to take courage, if it is for sickness, whatever it may be, I want to ask that you come to the front right now so that we can pray with you. If there is anybody here who have never given their lives to the Lord, completely and absolutely trusting Him with your life, giving you everything, I want you to come to the front. We want to pray with you. If there's anybody like that, come right now. And I want to ask if the ministry facilitators, the small group leaders, can come and just come and pray with me, please. Anybody is welcome. We just want to pray with you.
The Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in your presence. And I experienced the presence of God today. And it's a really special day. Because that little Stephen that was given to the Lord to be guided, and all the prayers that went up for him, he was blessed out of his wits. I want to share with you what happened just before they had the baby shower. Now, sorry, that is a grandmother phoned me. I'm the great-grandmother. She said, are you going to attend the baby shower? Because we didn't know whether it was a little boy or a girl, because he was hiding that secret so carefully. And then she said to me, are you going to attend the baby shower of our little Stefan? And she sent me SMS. And when I read it, you know, I had a jerk in my heart. It was so special. Now, then I was thinking of Mary, who bare Jesus at that time, and she went to Elizabeth. And when she got to Elizabeth, the baby jerked in Elizabeth. And that name was kept secret until after the birth. Now, little Stefan has a grandfather, also called Stefan, who is a child of the Lord, heart and soul. Now, his father's father was also called Stefan. And he was a man, I'm sure, like David was, to the heart of the Lord. And then I thought, but what is it in a name? And when I gave it a thought, I realized this name bears something that's worth the while bearing. And after all these blessings he had this morning, I'm so sure that name is worthy of having it. And it was kept secret for such a long time that he was to be a boy. And I praise the Lord today that he has given him the privilege to be blessed out of his sin, out of his wits. And I want that blessing to go to the grandparent, Bernard from us, and Stephen and Sarah from the Mary, in the name of the Lord. I can't wait until tomorrow. I had to take the courage today.
Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, God, just for your word, God. And we thank you for Stefan. We thank you for the family, God. We thank you for the legacy that he can walk in, God. Thank you, God, for the legacy that has gone before Stefan, God, and that the ceiling, God, of the generations that was before, God, can be his platform, God, for where he can go further, God, in your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for the courage that's just been displayed now, God. And that we can go forth, God, and just take courage, God, and be bold for you, God, in everything that you lead us in, God, as individuals, as a church, as families. And we give you all the glory and all the honor, God. And bless you, and have a nice holiday tomorrow, and a good week. Have some snacks, coffee, cake.